The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program is Mike Hohenbrink with the Kalmar Courier. Mike, you can start us off with a question for Senator Grassley.
Mike, you got me all to yourself. How are you doing?
I'm okay, Senator. How was your weekend? I understand you're back, or at least we're briefly back in Iowa.
So if that's your first question, I got back to Iowa Wednesday night. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I've been in 9 different counties looking at the damage. I should say out of the 9 counties, 6 out of the 9 would be counties that I was in where there was damage. I've never seen the corn so flat as it is. Well, I've seen flat corn before, but not in such a geographically wide as well as long area. And so I sought out the damage from Boone County. Let's see, that would have been Friday. So Thursday I had other counties. So Boone was as far west as I was, and ended Saturday in Cedar Rapids, and Cedar Rapids is very devastated. I don't know how many trees are down, how many houses are hurt. They're putting together those statistics. The governor must have those statistics already because she has had a basis for asking for what they call a major proclamation on national emergency. And she's asked the president to that, and the Iowa congressional delegation has sent a letter to the president backing that up. I text the chief of staff, Mark Meadows, and he said he would see that it got speeded up. I think the governor has thought the damage was around $4 billion. I guess I'd say I don't know how much damage there is, but I'm going to take that figure as somebody that's got smarts enough to look at damage and say this is approximately what it is. And then I talked to Vice President Pence when he was in Des Moines on Thursday and got assurance of the additional help. So that's where we are. I'll go on to your next question or a follow-up.
Okay, Senator. Email from your office Friday, false collusion peddlers must face reckoning. You discussed documents your office released showing an FBI lawyer doctored emails and approved a covert plan to hijack an intelligence briefing for the president. Can you give a quick rundown of what's all happening here with this?
Well, this goes back to the spying on the campaign in 2016, and then continuing to get the president out of office since he was sworn in. And it involves application for going to the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, called the FISA Court, to get permission for the FBI to track and tap telephones of certain individuals. In this particular case, it was Carter Page, and one of the applications for pursuing Carter Page was based upon some information that came from the CIA that said that Carter Page was part of the CIA either on a contract or as an employee, and I don't know which it was. And that should have been enough to tell the FISA court that this Carter Page is not somebody that needs to be surveilled. And this individual that pleaded, or at least he's going to plead guilty, he just changed it that this guy had never been a part of the CIA, which then gave the FBI, the people that were out to get the president by spying on him, they were able to get a court order that Carter Page should be followed. And that went on for a long period of time, kind of destroying Carter Page's professional career as well. And really, how ridiculous it was, Carter Page really has no, he was so low down in the Trump organization, it wasn't even reasonable to think that he knew anything that was going on. So it was just an excuse to otherwise spy on the campaign of Trump in 2016, and they needed an excuse to get there, and Carter Page was that excuse.
Okay. Following up on that, Senator, do you see additional guilty pleas, convictions resulting from this whole mess?
Well, I wonder, in this case, if they aren't going to get this guy to squeal and testify against some other people that were involved, that would be very beneficial if they were able to get him to do that, and maybe not serving any time in jail might be quite an incentive for him to do that. Now, I don't know that they're doing that. All I got to go on to answer your question is that Attorney General Barr said there would be.
Okay. Turning to COVID-19 relief, is COVID-19 relief dead for the time being, or what options are there? Especially,
well, the options have already been done by the President of the United States and the three executive orders that he did last week, and he probably would have done more, but he increased, he continued some federal aid in addition to the state unemployment, so people get that are still unemployed through no fault of their own would get more than just the usual state unemployment compensation. He's trying to help so people don't get evicted from their homes and things of that nature. So he's done what he can do under law. The president can't do everything that Congress can do because, you know, we got a divided government and we got the power to legislate. The reason he's got this power to do what he's done is over the years, maybe it could be over 40 or 50 years, Congress has delegated some power to the president. And I would say that we've delegated too much power to the president, but regardless, he's done what he could. So then, as far as I know, based upon the conference calls that senators have with the White House, that there's no negotiations going on. But would that mean that they couldn't start up? The answer is yes, they could quickly start up, but I have no evidence that they're going to right today.
Okay. And moving over to obviously a big thing on many people's minds right now, the DNC convention coming up. Thoughts of what we're going to see coming up with this?
Well, it's so different, it's pretty hard to tell. But in the end, we're going to have a president and vice president candidate nominated by the Democratic Party, and the campaign's going to go on just like there was a traditional convention. How it changes people's outlook on presidential candidates and all that, all I can say is the hoopla that always goes on with the convention isn't going to be there very much now, and it's going to be the same way with the Republican convention, and so we're going to get a nominee, and maybe who knows, this could be the way the conventions would be handled in the future. I hope not, because I've gone to every national convention since 1980, and obviously I wasn't going to go this year because of the pandemic, but I enjoyed them very much, and I think they're very much a part of our democratic process.
Okay. And if I've got time for one more question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Latest polling from CNN has the lead for presumed candidate Biden, down to 4% from a double-digit lead earlier this season. Any predictions, any thoughts on your part for how the campaign is going to be shaping up this fall?
Well, obviously, I think even if we hadn't had the pandemic, you're going to have a very close election. The country's just so divided. Let's say 45% of the people right now are for Trump and 45% of the people are for Biden. That leaves 10% of the electorate, maybe even a smaller percentage than that, that you have to go after. And so I would expect a very close election. And I expect it to tighten up. I'm surprised that the CNN poll tightened up like it did, and it may not be accurate. You've got to look at polls, how they change over a period of time, and this is a pretty dramatic change from one poll to the other. So I would say if it's accurate, it's good news for the president, and I think the president's going to win. I want him to win. And the reason I want him to win is because I've seen him do the things that a lot of presidential candidates don't do. When he campaigned in 2016, he said, I'm going to do several things, and he ended up doing them, like putting the type of people he said he was going to put on the Supreme Court, he did. He said, we're either going to get out and after, or we're going to rewrite it. So we have the United States-Mexico-Canadian trade agreement. He said, China's been cheating for 20 years. No president's ever done anything about it. I'm going to do something about it. So he's taken on China, and we have a trade agreement with China where they're changing their behavior. He said that Europe's not paying enough for their own defense, and every president for three presidents said they should, didn't accomplish anything, but he's got Europe paying $137 billion more for their own defense in NATO. And he said he was going to move our embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. That's been the law since 1995, but no president has ever done it, and he's done it. And so you could go on and on and on with promises made, promises kept. That's why I'm hoping he's going to be elected, because very seldom do you see a president run on a platform and stand on the platform, and he's done that.
Okay. Thank you so much for your time this morning, Senator. I hope everything goes well, and welcome back briefly as it is to our neck of the woods. Good luck, sir.
Yeah, thank you very much. Goodbye.
Thank you, Mike, for participating in today's public affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.